After their first communion, Jesus told them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." Peter's reply, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I'm standing on business." Jesus says, "Especially you." While you're doing all that talking, "Before the rooster crows, you would disown me 3 times. Peter's reply, "Even if I must die with you, I would not deny you." I'm trying to tell you, Jesus, I'm about this gospel life. And I can show you better than I can tell you. This is bold talk coming from Peter. Back then, you couldn't tell Peter nothing. The Gospels do a good job of depicting the disciples in a very accurate light, showing us their weakness. And isn't it helpful? When we read, it feels like we're looking in the mirror. Because when we see their faithlessness, their weakness, we can surely see our own. Weakness is fueled by fear. Fear of what people think of us, fear of being harmed, and in fallen mankind, the fear above all, the fear of death. Hebrews puts it, it's how the devil keeps us in bondage, the fear of dying. Fear will prompt a character change in us all. Too often we still live as if Jesus is in the tomb rather than living as if the tomb is empty. And Peter is going to show us in the text our own tendency to be weak, our own tendency to deny Jesus. So when I was coming up, believe it or not, I considered myself a cool kid. I got along with everyone. The guys liked me, the girls liked me even more. Back then, you couldn't tell me nothing. I went to school in Mequon, so I caught the bus to school every day. It was about a 25 to 30 minute ride. I thought the school bus was a good thing because it gave us a chance to get to know one another a little bit better. When I got to high school, it really paid to be a cool kid on the school bus. Everybody laughed at my jokes. Everybody shared their snacks with me. And everybody wanted to talk with me. One of the things we used to do when we used to get on the bus, after we discussed our day and what have you, we used to have what we call a rib session, R-I-B session. I don't know what the kids call it today, but pretty much is when we talk about and make fun of each other. We'd do that for a while. Then we talk about someone else. No one was exempt. As a cool kid, I benefited because I was made fun of less. But being that I was so cool, I didn't really like making fun of anyone else. I pretty much kept to myself. The bus rides were fun, despite the rib sessions. But one person didn't have it so easy. A friend of mine who was about a year older than me, during our rib sessions, he got made fun of all the time. If not every day, every other day for sure. And one of the main reasons he was made fun of was because of his brother. His brother was 3 years older than he was, and he had graduated by the time I got to high school. And it may be hard to believe, but his brother may have been even cooler than I was. 6'7", good personality, built muscles, All-American football player, and All-American basketball player. Got a full ride to Notre Dame to play football. Now that I think about it, he was cooler than I was. But everything he was, his brother, unfortunately, was not. He was a big guy like his brother, but he was overweight. So they made fun of him for that. Really didn't have any social skills. So they made fun of him for that. Couldn't play football as well, even worse at basketball. They made fun of him for that. And he also had a skin disease where he broke out with rashes on his arms, his legs, and his neck. And they made fun of him for that as well. Bus rides were enjoyable for me, but not so much for him. But the bus ride I remember most was probably my worst one. It was after football practice, and we got on the bus, like normal, talking about the school day, talking about football practice, and then the rib session began. Kids were making fun of one another. Kids was laughing. I was just worried about being cool, so I wasn't really even paying them no mind. And then the remarks and the ridicule start coming my way. So I was like, I ain't gonna sweat it. I'm still cool. And normally, the ridicule and the remarks would kind of like go around, and they will always end up on my one friend. And sometimes it'd be too much for him, and he had to move himself from the back of the bus to the front of the bus. But this time it was different. The ridicule stayed on me. I thought it would pass, but it didn't. And I lost my cool. And I did something very uncharacteristic. I started to make fun of the person who got made fun of daily. He almost had a pass, but I couldn't stand 5 minutes of what my friend had been going through for 3 years. And I switched it up. And I started to make fun of him. And as you know, as kids, once the popular kid starts doing something, everyone else follows suit. And that's what they did. Instead of being on me, everything switched over to him. Like it normally went every day. It was a little heavy that day, so he moved himself from the back of the bus to the front of the bus again. He would always speak to me when I got off the bus because I never made fun of him because everyone else was always making fun of him, except for this day. And he had a real perky way of saying goodbye when you got off the bus. He would say, "All right, catch you next time." Every time he would say that. When I got off the bus this time, he had a different tone. But he still said it. So it called for me to look at him. But he said it sadly. "All right, I'll catch you next time." And the look was disappointment, betrayal. It was like, of all people, Ron, I thought you was gonna be the only one that left me alone. But out of self-preservation, I couldn't take the heat. Probably my weakest moment in riding the bus. And my rooster's crow, this guy still lives in Milwaukee. Every 7 years or so, I run into him. And we always greet each other. And this is normally our greeting. Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing, Ron? Oh, I've been good. How are you? Kids can be very mean. I'm glad I'm not in high school anymore. This is what he said about 7 years ago. He was in his upper 30s then. Why were people so mean, do you think? This is our greeting every time. I said, man, I don't even know. He said, well, we're adults now. And just so you know, Ron, I don't hold anything against you. And only took that one time of denial, that one time of rejection. And now, unfortunately, that's how he remembers me. We really got to be careful how we talk to one another. Rejection and denial cuts deep. They make deep wounds. As we look at Matthew chapter 26, we see another deep wound that's being left, Peter's denial of Jesus. We don't see the bold and confident Peter. Due to fear, we see a character change. We see the scared and weak Peter. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also was with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. Little slave girl, you better beat it. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. Instead of the denial getting smaller and smaller, they got bigger and bigger. I just imagine Peter saying, this is what I say to my daughters often. Y'all little kids talk too much. Why don't you run somewhere and stay out of grown folks' business? Didn't you hear me say I don't know the man? After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. You look like them. You snuck in here. You talk like them. What's these girls talking about? You were with them, weren't you, Peter? Then he began to call down curses. Peter couldn't take the heat. He stamped. There was a character change. Peter started cussing people out. Peter started to fall deeper and deeper into sin. And he was prompted by and motivated by self-preservation. Forgetting all what Jesus had taught him over the years when the men accused him, Peter must have said, I think y'all done lost your mind. Where's my sword at? Y'all got one more time. Ka-caw, ka-caw, ka-caw. That was my impression of a rooster crowing. I didn't get time to look it up, so that was the only bird sound that I knew. But imagine hearing a rooster crowing every time you sinned, every time you denied Jesus. It'd be so loud, we wouldn't even be able to think. Even worse, imagine hearing my imitation of a rooster crowing every time you sin. I bet you that'll call you to repentance really quick, wouldn't it? We've all done things to protect what we have. We all did things in the pursuit of self-preservation, the pursuit of money, and the pursuit of whatever we felt was necessary that we enjoyed based on our sinful flesh. But like Peter, we have to repent and come to a realization when we do these things, I turn my back on Jesus. I've been unfaithful to him. I've been disloyal to him. Peter has the right reaction. Peter just doesn't say, I'm only human. And we all make mistakes. He reacted with godly sorrow. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. We deny our Lord in ways similar to Peter's denial. We act out of ignorance when others ask us about Jesus. We distance ourselves from him in the church so as not to stand out from others at times. However, Jesus reminds us such denials are very serious. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Peter wept tears for his own fear and sin, but he did not despair. And here's where Peter differs from Judas. He remembered what Jesus told him. He remembered the wound left by denial when he looked at Jesus. And then he repented. When we deny our Lord and our association with him, we do have hope, a promised comfort. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Just as in the crowd in Acts repented for denying and rejecting Jesus, we also can repent of our denials and receive the Lord's forgiveness. The wound of denial cuts deeper than other wounds. However, Jesus remains faithful. Whether they're intentional or accidental, our denial of Jesus certainly wounds him. And he does not excuse such denials, but he does forgive them through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus knows our weakness, but he also freely forgives and heals us from this wound. He died for those weaknesses. His power is perfected in our weaknesses. Even at your lowest point, his grace will always be sufficient for you. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.